Look, if you're thinking about starting a cash practice, or you just started one and you're making less than $5,000 a month, you need to take a serious look at the Gym PT Blueprint. I put this course together for you. The PT is trying to do his own thing, that doesn't want to have to work for somebody else seeing 30 people a day and hating their job. And I did this so that you can skip all that time and wasted energy and money that it takes to learn things the hard way and follow a proven system that has helped over 100 cash practice owners start, run, and grow successful practices in the last 9 months alone. Guys, this is something that can significantly help your business. It's just up to you to decide if you're willing to invest in yourself. Head over to drdannymatei.com, go to the products, and check out the Gym PT Blueprint right there. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's up, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and I'm on call again with my buddy Eve Gigi, and we're getting into a topic that we feel like is something that can be a real challenge for people starting out in terms of defining your message, and then who it is that you're trying to work with, what niche you focus on, and your ability to get really clear on that allows you to get really clear on your marketing message. And it's also a place where you can waste a lot of money if you go about this the wrong way. So if you decide to put a bunch of money towards paid advertising, let's say, or you decide you want to spend a bunch of time teaching at a bunch of different places, but it's not your ideal person or your messaging is wrong, it can make or break your business. Would you agree?
Yeah, I completely agree. Sometimes I'm shocked how people don't even think about this before they even open a business, right? They just like,
yeah,
hey, here we go. I'm going to sell flowers and, you know, I'm just going to do it and people are just going to show up. Like, let's not even think about who we're targeting and why we're targeting and what our message is. Like, it seems like it should be pretty essential, but it's very surprising who doesn't even, you know, they don't even understand the basics of it.
Yeah, I would say when I first started, I didn't have any clear picture of who my ideal customer was. It's one of the reasons why we put this in the Gym PT Blueprint, is because it's so important for you to get a really clear picture of who that is. We actually have an exercise in there that we have people go through to just define what that is, what that person looks like, because when you're first starting out, you'll pretty much just work with anybody. You know, you're just like, absolutely, I'll work with you. I just need the money. You know, like I don't have any patience right now. But doesn't it necessarily mean that that's the person you're going to get the best result for? And what you have to look at is the compounding effect of you getting really amazing results for people in a local community leads to them sending more people like them to come and see you. So if you get to a point where it seems like everybody that you work with is the same person, you've done a pretty good job of messaging in terms of who it is that you get the best results with. And you know, it's funny at our staff meeting today, we've been focusing a lot on like endurance athletes in our area. You know, we feel like we have a pretty good background for that, in particular the strength conditioning side of that. And so we were talking today at our staff meeting, and Jackie's like, I feel like all I see now is runners, triathletes, and tennis players, you know, and then like her women's health stuff. And Jake's like, dude, I'm seeing like a ton of runners and cyclists, you know, right now. Like, perfect. We're doing a good job of messaging and marketing that message of who it is that we, you know, have a unique ability to help. So when did it click for you guys? Did you start from day one with working on your messaging?
I mean, I definitely, you know, had the opportunity like to work with you a little bit before I even started. So I had a general idea of what I needed to build, and it definitely became more of a sniper. In the beginning, it was more of a shotgun. Just like you said, I would see anybody in the beginning. But I definitely knew that I wanted to work. I was in a CrossFit gym, so I knew that my main target was CrossFit athletes, right? And like that's who my target demographic was. And I knew that I wanted to work with a very, very active population. Like, I'm not going to get a lot of sedentary people. Basically, the people I saw in insurance-based business, I saw 90% of sedentary, you know, comorbidities all over the place. And I wanted to see people who weren't on medications. I kind of knew that. I want to see people who already were thinking about their health and already spending money on their health. So, Yeah. I mean, I already kind of wanted to really focus on that demographic, and I thought that was a big advantage, just like you said, because those are the people I got the best outcomes with. Yeah. And those are the people that told their friends about what I was doing. And it was just, yeah, just a good fit.
Well, I remember when I was an intern in Texas physical therapy specialist in New Braunfels, Texas. This was a high volume in-network practice, you know, really good clinical providers there for sure. But what I noticed was there were three of us that were interns through the Baylor program. And every time that we had somebody come in that was, I wouldn't even say they were an athlete. You know, they were just like 42 years old and wanted to run.
Hooray, finally, right?
Oh, we would fight over who would get to see this person. You know, yeah. Or we'd be pissed. We'd be like, damn it, you know, Pat, you're so lucky you get to see so-and-so, and I'm over here with Greg in the corner that's chain smoking and doesn't want to go back to work, you know? Right. And I think that you have to think like, those are the people that you enjoy working with the most. And we've all been in those situations where it's like, dude, I don't want to work with this population. I don't get a lot of energy out of working with this population. It doesn't fit sort of my skill set where I'm trying to help them get back to higher level things. And in many cases, people that are complacent and willing, they're just interested in just like, yeah, just prescribing the next medicine so that, you know, my liver won't be so jacked up and I can keep eating and drinking like crap. Those people will never set foot in their office. There's no reason for them to do it. They don't have any ownership in their own health. And that's something that is also important when you're messaging is like, who is this not for, right? Like if you don't fit with what we're putting out there, it's going to be very apparent that this is not the place that I want to go. In fact, in our Instagram description, it literally says like, this is not your grandma's physical therapy practice, like, because we can't see your grandma. We're going to take Medicare. So we literally can't if we wanted to, but this isn't not what you think of with like traditional physical therapy, right? And that's what we're trying to put out to people. So people that are looking for that, they're looking in the wrong place. And if they're looking for, you know, somebody that can help be an advocate for their health and wellness and quarterback their health and wellness long-term and has some pretty cool hands-on skills that can help alleviate pain and help them move better, get stronger, and be healthier than they have and look better physically than they have in a very long time. Well, we have a unique skill set to do that. And when people find us, typically they want to stay, which is really cool to see. It's just a matter of you got to get them through the door in the first place, right?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think it's such a good point. Like that's one of the main benefits of doing the cash PT thing is seeing that clientele. Like I probably say that I swear on a weekly basis when I talk to their PTs is like, it's literally switched where 10% of my caseload now is some of these chronic pain.
Right.
We still see some of them. They're usually trying to make that transition. I actually like and enjoy seeing those patients again now, but my main demographic, just like you said, is runners, triathletes, CrossFit, people who are already super active and just kind of want to stay that way. And it's kind of a funny story. We started marketing now more to MDs and trying to create that same message. And we've gotten a few patients that remind us of what we used to do in insurance-based practice. And we're like, we don't even know if we want to keep, I mean, we're still going to, but it's almost like a second guess if we should continue to market to these doctors, because we don't necessarily want to see these patients. Like they're just not a good fit. Like they're not going to get a good outcome because they're not going to do their homework. They're not going to buy into what our message is, which is this continuity and this wellness kind of model.
Well, isn't that interesting that, you know, you would prefer to turn people away? I think this would, someone that is new to business would probably think that's crazy, but you know, you sort of have to define who it is that you work best with, and you have to build your practice around that, you know, for the outcomes you want with those people, because the goal is really to have as many of those people as your practice can sustain. And it also comes down to work satisfaction. Like one of the reasons why we have, you know, the PTs that work with us that they're amazing practitioners, and you know, they could get a job pretty much probably anywhere they wanted. It's because they get an opportunity to work with a really satisfying group of people. So it's a very, you know, symbiotic relationship in terms of like, they're excited to work with us. We're excited to work with them. And the energy level you get with that is just, you can't fake it. You know, there are people that we enjoy being around because we share a lot of common core beliefs. Like for us to honestly think that you should be able to make it through your life for the most part without having to take medication is something that a lot of people want to avoid as well. And yeah, that's something that's an extremely strong core belief of ours. The fact that you should work on sleep, what you put in your body, so nutrition, movement, and stress management. Like when we talk to people about those four kind of areas, those four pillars of their health and wellness, you know, that aligns with a lot of people. They're like, yeah, I don't want to take Ambien anymore. Let's talk about ways that we can improve our sleep strategy. And you know, even yesterday, I spent about 3 or 4 hours putting this presentation together for my brother. So he runs a nonprofit for emergency providers. So a lot of like EMTs, emergency medicine, physicians, nurses, flight care, they do a lot of that. There's some military groups that are associated with them. And I was putting a presentation together for them. I was talking about basically how to be healthy when your job is inherently unhealthy, which everyone that's coming to this conference, there's going to be like 400 or 500 people that are going to be at this conference this weekend that I'm going to present at. Their job is essentially killing them, more so than our job is killing us.
Right.
Because in 2007, the World Health Organization made shift work classified as a carcinogen. Like if they said physical therapy is a carcinogen, less people would do physical therapy, like as a career. But their career is shift work, and they're constantly throwing their circadian rhythms off, and they're not sleeping very well. They have stressful jobs, so they're always like hormones are going crazy. And the reality is, yeah, they're 42% more likely to develop type 2 diabetes. They tend to have lower brain function after about 10 years. They're not cognitively as aware. They don't make decisions as sharply, and they tend to get burned out around that time too. But as I was putting this together, the thing that came into my mind was, our profession gets burned out around 10 years or so out as well. You know, if you're in an out of network practice where you're working with people that you don't like to be around, you can only sustain that for so long. And then what happens is your energy level, your desire to give a fuck anymore starts to go down. And you can only put that off. You can only avoid that deterioration in your energy level for so long. And then eventually people get burned out and they start looking at these other things to do. When in actuality, the better option is, hey, how do we work with the people we really like? And then our job becomes really fun again. And this is one of the reasons why we're so excited and we get so passionate about this form of our practice, of our profession, because it helps people enjoy being a provider again.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you just look at, because I've experienced both, right? The insurance-based culture, like what we dealt with day to day, like we were just trying to get through our day. We literally were just dreading every single patient. Like, oh no, right. You got to see Teresa, who comes once a week for the past 3 years and really doesn't want to make a change. Like that culture is completely different than the culture now where, you know, on our monthly all hand staff meetings, we literally go work out at some random place in Charleston, a totally different place every single time. We're actually going to go surfing next month. Like
you surf in Charleston?
Yeah, man, there's surf here. I mean, they're not big waves, but they're not, sorry, it's not Hawaii. Take it easy.
What about stand up paddle surf? Can you do that?
Yeah, for sure. No, you can't.
Little waves, yeah. Oh, okay, cool. Good to know.
Those are real good spots.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the stuff that we get excited about. And you're right. Like, that's why we're so passionate about what we're doing, is because we want to give people the opportunity, the people who want to do this, to show them, like just what you're doing, the blueprint. We want to literally lay it out step by step. And obviously, this messaging is a big part of that before you even get started, get this stuff set.
Yeah, it absolutely helps paint a picture of who it is that you want to work with the best. And you know, when people get this right, they start to attract the right people. And where you have to start really is defining what niche you want to at least start out with trying to be the subject matter expert in. Because the goal should be for you to develop your personal reputation, your personal brand as a subject matter expert in this specific niche in your area, right? You can't just be like, this is the greatest physical therapist for everything wrong with you of all times, right? That's just not really the case. You have to decide, okay, what is it that I work with? Who is it that I work with? Who do I get the best results with? And when you look at defining a niche, behind me, I wrote a bunch of stuff. So the three circles here, I'm gonna walk through this. And this is how we help coach people through defining a niche. There's three parts to it. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, you're not watching the video in the Facebook group, then go get a piece of paper or a whiteboard. I love whiteboards. Or if you're driving, just listen to this later. Don't do this while you're driving, but draw three circles that are intersecting. So just like I did. And in the middle, this is where they overlap. Okay. So the middle is your niche, but each of these circles is a part of that niche. So the first part is, Who are the people that you like? So you like them. That's number one. Like the group of people that you like to work with. Who's the group of people that you can help, right? So who do you have a unique skill set to actually be able to get a really good result with? And then the last circle is, can they pay for your services? So most niches are so defined that people are willing to pay for them. You don't always have to like think of a niche that is only going to be able to pay for it. You'd be surprised what people find value in, what they're willing to pay for. But you also probably can't do like, you know, you love little kids, you can help little kids, and you want to do pro bono, like Medicaid work only. That's a niche, but it's not a niche you're going to be able to like build a big business off of, or really much of even a small business. So you have to find a niche that will actually be able to support that. So here's a good example. So Jackie, so, and here, I guess, let me preface by saying this. Pick one niche to start with, then you can make lateral transfers into other niches as your name recognition starts to develop. So this is something that I did with CrossFit. And then all of a sudden, I started working with a lot of runners, which I actually didn't really like working with runners when I was in the Army because that was everybody that we worked with. But I like working with them now because I don't work with quite as many of them and they're more receptive to the things that we teach. So let's look at this in terms of runners, okay? So do you like working with runners? Sure, maybe you were a collegiate runner. Maybe you ran, you know, maybe you're a running coach still. You know, maybe you like to lead marathon groups. It's a social thing for you. Can you help them? Great, awesome. You have a background in physical therapy, you understand strength and conditioning. You know, most runners do nothing from a injury prevention standpoint, and 80 to 85% of them get hurt for in the training process for any marathon. It's like the walking wounded of people whenever you go to a local race and afterward everybody's limping over to get their t-shirt and banana because they're all hurt. So can you help them? Awesome, sure. And then can they pay for it? Absolutely. If you have ever worked with runners, or if you're a runner yourself and you cannot run, it's like someone telling you not to breathe. You know, or someone telling you not to do your favorite thing in the world. Like, it's more than that. It's a social environment. There's a movement meditation element to it. There's a stress relieving element to it. It's, you know, physically how many people it's exercise. It's how they plan trips in many cases. I work with a lady who got into marathon running in her mid-40s. And I've seen this lady now once a month for 2 years. She's been coming to see me. And primarily, just so we can help her tweak her programming, get her to do some more advanced kind of strength and conditioning work, and make sure that everything looks good for her to keep running. Because she got into this because she was very unhealthy. And also, she's developed a huge friend kind of group base as she's now one of these marathon, half marathon pace leaders. So she actually like leads these groups. And every Saturday, they do these long runs, and then they pick a new breakfast spot to go to. And that's what she does, man. And that's how she plans her vacations. Like, no kidding, this is her favorite thing in the world to do. It's very important. It's not just running. So, you know, if you understand that, you got to see, you know, do you match up with this niche? Does the niche match up with you? If so, that's the niche you want to initially start with, right? So you guys have a couple different licensees and they're in different niches. So what niches are your PTs focusing on at this point?
So yeah, I mean, just like you, I initially started with more CrossFit athletes. I almost had the exact same transition to strength conditioning for runners, and then you know, have branched out from there to anybody who's more active lifestyle. So we call Made to Move the active lifestyle. And then now we have a niche called In the Box. We're actually providing physical therapy services at multiple CrossFit gyms and have office hours in these three gyms. And we're targeting that niche specifically because they're just like runners. If you tell a CrossFitter to stop doing CrossFit, you might as well, same thing, tell them to stop, you know, breathing. Just like you said,
right? Stop drinking water.
Right. You know, and they're willing to pay for that. They're already paying a good amount of money to do CrossFit. So they're going to keep doing that. And, you know, once we found that niche, then we started creating more messaging. You know, we're CrossFit coaches. We do workshops based around movements and Olympic lifts. And then we have another niche with Meg that's all women's health. And right. And so that's a completely different message, you know? And we're actually going through a weird transition right now. We're trying to figure out how we can differentiate, because if somebody comes to our website, Made to Move, it looks very CrossFit athletic-esque. It's not very women friendly. It's not pink. There's not babies around, right? So we're trying to figure out, because that messaging is going to be different. That messaging is going to be a little softer. That messaging is going to be a little more female empowerment. That messaging is going to have different colors around it. So it's something I'm just really excited to even talk about, and just, you know, it's never ending. I can always learn more how to get my message out there to more people in a more constructive and efficient way.
Well, I think that with, like, just speaking to that in general, we're doing something very similar. You know, Jackie recently went through a couple different certification courses to do internal women's health work. She got very frustrated with having to send people out and then the speed of being able to help somebody, essentially. Right. She was doing a lot of transitional work where it's like, okay, cool. You know, you've gone done internal work. Now let's teach you how to maintain that control while you run, or maintain that control while you do box jumps, or, you know, the actual, like, coaching element of it. And it's not a big chunk of what she does, but it's another tool in her skill set. And it's something that she would like to get, you know, more patient visits with and more volume with. And what we found is, yeah, it's very similar. Our website does not speak to anything like that. So what we end up having to do is build out, and we're doing this right now, but, like, actually carve out a part of the website that is specifically about, we have a ton of blog posts on this stuff that she has written about more of the active transitional side of getting back to training postpartum.
Yep.
But yeah, you would have no idea that we have anybody that does any internal work, because our website doesn't have that as one of the messages. But it will be a standalone page that then you have to ask yourself, okay, where do you send people whenever they ask for information about this? If you're driving traffic to somewhere specific, is it best for it to go to your homepage, or is it best to go to a specific page about a topic they've already expressed interest in, which right. is what you're probably going to have to do, which is what we're doing. So if it's a paid ad from Google, if it's a paid ad from Facebook, if it's a video about something women's related, that we can then send them to a page that's very specific to what they're looking for. They may have no idea that we work with all these other groups, but as your practice progresses and grows, like ours has, this becomes a challenge for the system on the back end, which is the website and your administrative staff, right? Like, they have to also then continue to grow. You have to adjust the site, and you have to have the right information in the right context for these people to then feel like they can trust you and develop a relationship. So I think it's challenging, but I think it's a good niche. I think it's a very underserved niche, in particular when you look at somebody that's able to do both internal work and have them do coaching. It's typically one or the other.
Yeah. We're working on maybe even bringing another person in. So we'd have internal, and then Meg would be able to do more of the, just like you said, functional stuff. And then we would kind of have everything kind of in one house. And it's funny, I was thinking along the same lines. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to create, like, a landing page that's only women's health and only messaging, and almost going to look like its own separate webpage in a way, and try to do a separate social media account and separate blog posts and that kind of thing, and try to drive traffic directly, you know, to that page. I mean, the thing that's really interesting that I just thought about is, and this is something we just implemented, you probably have already started doing this, but messaging isn't just social media. Messaging isn't just you as a practitioner, but, like, that first initial phone conversation. So we started talking about packages, like, just kind of mentioning it, like, more of a soft sell, or more of just like, hey, we offer these kinds of packages. And then when they come in for their first visit, or even on their second visit, they've been much more likely to buy because they've already expected that result. So, like, it's the same thing we talked about now. Like, if you put that messaging out early, then when they come in, they know what to expect. They're more prepared, and just, it makes everything a lot easier.
Well, it's sort of like pre-framing anything, right? And the training that I just put together on how to pitch yourself at workshops, you know, one of the big parts, pieces of that, like these three kind of pieces to effectively be able to pitch yourself at a workshop, is for you to start pre-framing who you get amazing results with at the beginning, middle, like through, and especially if you can tell a patient story that's relevant to the type of group that you're talking about. So, like, let's say I'm talking to a group of runners and I'm talking about knee pain, right? I can bring up Madison, and Madison's somebody that came to us that had a meniscal tear. She was going to run the Chicago Marathon because her brother was doing it, and her whole family was flying in from New York and then in California, and they were going to meet in Chicago, and it was going to be this big family reunion on the weekend that her and her brother were running the marathon together. And she was so worried that she wasn't going to be able to run the marathon with all her family coming in and with her brother, like she wanted to do. And she was told she needed surgery for her meniscal tear. She was a collegiate field hockey player and had this injury happened a long time ago. And, you know, long story short, she did need surgery. We worked with her for about 8 weeks before her race, and she ran her race, no problem whatsoever. Didn't have to get surgery, didn't have to stop running, didn't have to avoid any of the things that she was doing. She just was missing some mechanics that basically happened whenever she had the original injury, and she never got it back. And then she just added a bunch of volume onto that, and it caused a problem. So when I tell this story in front of a bunch of runners that I know have knee pain, and I'm talking to them about things they can do to improve their knee pain, this isn't even at the end of the workshop. This is at the like beginning or middle, and I'll bring it up as something that relates to these exercises being part of helping somebody get back to a bigger goal. So now when I talk about the end, I get a chance to say, you know, if anybody in here is similar to like Madison that we brought up that was hoping to avoid knee surgery and was worried she wasn't going to be able to run, this is the group of people that we absolutely do an amazing job with. We'd love nothing more than to talk to you afterward to see if you're a good fit for what we have going on and answer whatever questions you might have. Because the transition has to be to the next step, which may not always be booking a visit, right? So we're pre-framing who it is that we get a really good result with. And the fact, they call it like point story metaphor, right? So if I'd have thrown a metaphor in after that, probably would have been even better, right? Sort of like the idea of, you know, trying to row across the ocean in a boat and not knowing what direction you're going. Like, you might get there, probably won't, and probably get frustrated in the process. Versus having a clear plan of like what to do, you're trying to achieve this big goal, work with somebody that's already helped numerous other people just like you get there as well, and get the transformational goal that they're going for. A marathon's a huge deal for somebody running for the first time. So for us to pre-frame, and then for us to tell, like, what's the point of this? Tell a story around it. Like, people may listen to this podcast and not remember any of the shit we talked about, but they might remember Madison and be like, I remember Danny talked about Madison and her knee pain. And it's because of the story, and we were able to remember that so much better. So, you know, not to sidetrack from that, but as we get into your messaging, you have to be clear about how you engage with people on this stuff. And if all you do is you put up facts about how awesome you are and you have a FAOMP and you have dry needling certification and you do all this other shit that no one knows what it is, it's just features. And people don't remember features. People remember stories and metaphors. And the more you can speak in that language, the more likely it is that they're going to understand what you're saying and trust you versus other PT. If all you do is have other PTs hit you up with blog posts you write, this is a key thing that I learned the hard way. If all you do is have other PTs that email you or leave comments on your blog posts, you are talking to the wrong people. You're talking on the wrong level. You're talking to practitioners.
Yeah, selling to PTs, not to...
It's not like a good thing. It's not a good thing. This happened to me for the first year that I was putting stuff out before I realized, holy crap, I'm talking to the wrong people. I'm wasting all my time writing stuff for physical therapists when I'm trying to talk to, you know, patients. So getting your messaging right and all these other things is so important. You have to understand like who it is that you're trying to effectively work with.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I think that's so powerful is like you've got to be able to self-identify, right? Like when you see a commercial and you see somebody who's similar to you and they had a problem similar to you and then they have a solution that looks exactly with what you need and provides an alternate solution of something that you're scared of, like who's not going to choose that, right? Like that's just, yeah, it's perfect, right? It's like, oh man, I've got knee pain. Oh man, I was about to go see my doctor. I've had multiple people tell me I need surgery. I had no idea there was another solution to this problem. I think that's just, it's just so powerful. Like to use a metaphor, like this is what I use with a lot of my PT sometimes, is like our patients are like on an island. They're on the island and they have no idea how to get off the island, right? And so sometimes first you got to be able to tell them that there is a bridge across, and then you need to show them how to cross it, and then you actually need to get them to actually cross it. And like that takes multiple things. It takes messaging, it takes reinforcement, there's just so many ways to do that, and you've got to make sure that you put it all together.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, Ashley and I have this conversation, who, by the way, asked me if she could jump on another podcast with me today at lunch. So those of you that have been wanting Ashley Matei back on, it's going to happen soon. And I didn't even have to try to press her for it. And this is why. Because we get so many people that get bad medical information that they can't unhear, or they're sent down the wrong path that they can't undo, and we can help them. And it's like, how do we get this information? How do we get this message out? How do we get this information out? There's so many of these people just in our city, let alone the entire country. And there's so many of us that are trying to do the right thing for people, and we can help them avoid some of these things. Like, it's your job to get good at this shit. Like, if you honestly want to help people, I came to this realization a couple years ago. If I honestly want to help as many people as possible, I cannot be the one seeing everybody. I have to train other providers that we bring on, and I have to get really good at sales, marketing, people, and processes. That way our business can then support the ability to see more of these people. And we just want to like scream, you know, from the top of a mountain or something, like, look, you're getting bad advice. Like, we're not physical therapists like you're used to. Come see us. We can make you feel better and you can avoid all this crap. Like that's what we want to do. And it's so frustrating for us sometimes to hear this, you know, so some doctor tells somebody to do this thing and they just do it because they don't know. And so for us, we look at it as it's our duty. It's our, you know, priority as ethical providers that are able to help people avoid a lot of needless medical costs and pain and get back to the things they really enjoy, for us to actually be able to get our message across to them and be able to help them. And when you align with your message that much, it's very easy for you to want to work hard, for you to get other people that want to work hard with you. And you have a common goal. It's like the military. You do a lot of just like hard and sometimes stupid shit in the military. But people band together because we have a common goal. We're working as like a team, you know, and we know what that message is. We know what the goal is. We know what we're trying to accomplish. And in your practice, if you don't know what that is or who it is that you're trying to work with, it's going to have a really hard time doing it yourself and especially getting anybody else to want to work with you on that, you know, difficult task.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost a little frustrating. No, it's definitely frustrating. Like even us as physical therapists, like our profession in general does not understand all the things that you just said, right? Like they feel trapped. They feel like they're just being subservient to doctors. They don't understand that the biggest piece to what we can do to help patients is basically educate them on how we can help them. Like, you know what I mean? Like that, it's just so huge. And I feel like that's a big shift that needs to happen, right? Like, and that's a big, there's multiple ways to do it, right? There's cash PT may not be the only solution, but it is a big solution to start going towards that route where we're just saying, maybe surgery is not the right answer. Maybe pharmaceuticals aren't the right answer. Here's an alternate reality and a solution to your problems, you know? And I think it's huge.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, for time's sake, I actually have to jump on a marketing call at 3. So we got 10 minutes for me to go through ideal customer. He's got 2. I have 1. And so what you can do, this is another exercise. We went over the niche exercise. This is the ideal customer exercise. And when you define who your niche is or what your niche is, then you want to define who it is within that niche that you're going to be able to help the best. And you may not be able to do this early on because you may not know who you get the best results with. But once you get some practice in, you get your reps in, you can start to define that. And it's helpful to give them a name. I got this advice. I was at a marketing workshop and this was an exercise that they wanted everybody to go through. This is really hard for me initially whenever I did this a couple years ago. But when you look at your ideal customers, a couple things you want to think about. So number one, you want to give them a name. So I think of the person, the best way for me to describe this is think of the person that you wish you had 100 patients just like that person. And for me, it's Greg. Okay. So Greg is our ideal customer. So what's Greg's age, right? So Greg is a 48-year-old man. He's married. He's got 2 kids. He's a lawyer. So he's got a graduate level education. His goals are to stay active and train relatively pain-free, but keep up with his 2 high school daughters, right, who both play sports. He significantly values getting results faster, so he values his time, and he hates being told not to do things. That drives him crazy. He's a collegiate athlete, and he wants to be able to use his body in whatever way he decides he wants to, actively, whether that's doing a triathlon on his 50th birthday or whatever it is. His pain points is he's getting older, right, and he has a lack of time because he's so busy with his legal practice. And he also has no idea what workouts he should do for his goals. He's just sort of just doing some crap that he finds online, which is like what most people do. And he ends up hurting himself because of that. Then the last thing is he sees his friends around him, especially all of his college football teammates from when he was in school. He sees them starting to slow down, starting to avoid things, starting to become generally unhealthy, and he doesn't want to be like them. If you can take the words from your patient's mouth and you can use that in your messaging, that's the most effective way to do it. And I'll tell you a story about Greg. He came in one time and I had told him about the test where you just sit down on the ground and get back up without using your hands. And that being correlated with life expectancy. And so he did it, no problem, easy. And he said he was at it was a weekend where he went to a Georgia game at Notre Dame. This was last year. So UGA played Notre Dame at Notre Dame. And so he's there with like six or eight of his buddies from college. And he challenged them all to do that. And he goes, none of them could do it. None of them. And they're all like tailgating, right? And he does it, and they all just like give him a hard time, whatever. Like, that doesn't mean anything. And he said he's standing there, and they're all just like so stiff and unhealthy, and they're all sort of fat in the wrong places. And he's like, Danny, I don't want to be one of these guys. Like, I love my friends, and like, we've been friends for a long time, but they're treating their body like crap, and I don't want to be like that. And when I heard him say that, I said, man, dude, that is exactly the kind of person we want to work with. Like, you're in the right spot, because we don't want you to have to do that either. And when I'm your age and I see my friends cheering around me, hopefully that's not the case. I don't want to be like that either. So defining that person, when I have my marketing message now, when I talk to people, whenever I write a blog post, whenever I do some sort of ad, the person that I want more of is Greg. I want more people like that in my practice. Does that make sense? Does that exercise make sense?
No, I'm saying, like, that's who you're writing to. Like, sometimes right. You want to think about who you're writing this for. It's like, I'm writing so, you know, Greg is going to be able to identify with this and is going to want in, come see me. And that makes sometimes writing these blog posts a little bit easier too.
I agree. Yeah. It helps with your messaging for sure. And you know, it takes a long time to get to a point where you're so defined on who that is. And it might change too. You may have a certain person. And I would tell you, like, initially when I first started, you know, my ideal person was like a 28-year-old CrossFit athlete, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. We still see quite a few of those, but here's what I can tell you about a 28-year-old CrossFit athlete versus a 48-year-old, you know, attorney who has two kids. The level of professionalism when it comes to working with another person, that like the amount that they value your time, the amount of no-shows, cancellations, the amount of one visit and drop-offs that we would see has dramatically dropped. Like, we looked at our numbers from this past month. So this past month we had like 280 visits, 275, I think it was 275, 280 patient visits, 5 no-show/cancellations within 24 hours of their visit. That's it. I don't even know what the percentage is.
That's amazing. Yeah.
It's tiny. I was more excited about that than any other of our key metrics that we track. And what that shows is that the people that we work with, our messaging is aligned with what they want, and they feel like they're in the right place, and they're committed to the solution that we have put in front of them. So when you look at that, you know, it'll start to align, and there's things that are objective around that. And one of those being your no-show/cancellation within 24 hour percentage.
Yeah. And just like for us, because I had the same thing, like 26-year-olds do not want to stay around and buy 6 visit package. They don't want it. Like, they just tend to get better quickly too. And I totally understand that, have just different priorities.
Yeah, sure.
And we really want to keep people. And this is a big thing that we talk about in the mastermind and a lot of other stuff, is getting these people on continuity programs and working with them on a regular basis to start doing some injury prevention. Right. And those guys are way more likely to do that. Like, you know, we want to convert a certain percentage of them, and you know, not many 26-year-olds, unless they're like a games athlete and they want to go to regionals and they need regular body work done.
Then they don't want to pay for it.
Yeah. They don't, you know, they want some sort of discount, you know.
Sponsorship.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. You know? No, it's totally true. I mean, we looked at our numbers from last year to this year. So we overlaid August from last year to August to this year. So last year we had 224 visits, I think it was. So we were about 50 less. And we had, I think it was one less new patient this year than we did last year. In terms of like in the month, but yet we had 50 more visits than we did last year than this past year. And that's because we've done a much better job of continuity and retention of people that have these same goals. And you know, when you look at stability within your business, if you're always playing the new patient game and your whole business is based off of that, it gets really challenging. Here's the other kicker too. When I look back at it this past year, I had 100 visits in the month of August last year. This year, I had 38. So, but yet our volume went up. So the last thing I would kind of preface is, once you get your messaging right and you get your systems built around that, you can then start to take yourself out of your business and work even more on this stuff, which makes your business even, you know, run even better than that. And it takes you out of the day-to-day stuff to some degree. I see patients because I still like to do it. But I don't have the time to do it all, you know, all week long, like I used to. So getting some time freedom back to work on your business is the goal. And the solution to that is understanding that you have to create these systems first you have to know who your target audience is. Then you have to try to attract those people. You have to do a really good job with them. Try to have them stick around, build your team, take yourself out of it. Let them decide which niches they do best with, build around that. And then the practice will grow. And that's sort of the transition point that we're at currently.
Mic drop right there. That was perfect. There's your business plan. Everybody just write that down, right? That was key. Like doing those little things will make such a big difference. Like I cannot emphasize that enough.
Right. No. And it's totally doable. And there's a lot of niches it's doable with. So it doesn't have to be CrossFit like what we started with. It doesn't have to be running.
The QB docs, like Drew and they did a great job of picking a niche and like really focusing on that, you know?
Here's how niche this is. They only work with primarily would prefer to work with adolescent, like youth quarterbacks and, you know, collegiate professional quarterbacks, just quarterbacks, not even football. That's not even niche of like a game, like one specific sport. It's a niche of a sport and one position at that. Not only that, one position where there's only one person per team that starts, you know? So it's interesting, but I'd say what they've been able to do, man, is like when somebody finds them, that's a quarterback that is interested in, you know, improving their throwing mechanics, they just instantly click with that person. I mean, they've gotten linked up with Adidas and Michael Vick and like, you know, Danny Werfel, who's done some work with them, who lives down this way. And like, these are big name people. They're doing some really cool stuff and they're changing a sport and a position that they are very passionate about. So when you talk about niching, like you can get super niche and it has to be something that aligns with what you enjoy though, right? So anyway, yeah, look up the Keel Brothers, the QB Docs, I believe is, look that up on Instagram. Their social media is really good.
Right. And you can end up being, I mean, this is another point, is you can end up being more lucrative doing that than when you throw a huge cast net, right? Like that would be, doing that would be way better than saying, I just work with football players in general. Like just because anybody, right, that wants that specific thing is going to travel far. They're going to reach out specifically to them. And then when you develop a expertise in one area like that, other people want to work with you too, not just quarterbacks. That's the point. We've seen that too, right? We've seen this expert thing just grow. It's like, well, if you do really well with this, it's not that hard to transfer that skill set to, you know, a pitcher or maybe another football player in a different position.
Absolutely. All right, man, this is good. Get your messaging down. Hopefully this helps. These two exercises that I just went over, one to define the niche, one to define your ideal customer, and then start to make everything specific to how you can attract more of those people and keep more of those people happy and around what you're doing for the long term so you can help them with their long-term health and wellness goals and have a really solid, stable, recurring revenue base to your practice that's going to help take some of the stress away from where am I going to find all these patients this month and allow you to then work with more of the people that you like and make better decisions because you are not stressed for money and patients as much as you would if you were just focusing on new patients alone. So that's it, man. Anything to close?
Nope, that's it, man. Everybody just start taking action. It's a simple exercise. Doesn't hurt to try it. If you're just thinking about starting a practice, start building your niche now.
Put it in the Facebook group and tag Eve Gigi in it when you do your exercises. And he will critique.
I'll send mine over. I'll send mine over.
Critique it.
Corporate call is mine. I'm happy to share.
All right, guys. Again, hey, thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you next time. Hey, real quick before we go, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I'm overwhelmed with how many positive reviews we've had on iTunes so far, and we have over 100 reviews currently and just in the last 9 months of starting this practice. The other area I'm really proud of is our PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. If you want to get involved in the conversation and not just listen to me talk to you and our guests about what's working in our businesses currently, head over to Facebook and join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. It's really simple. We'd love to have you in the community, and there's so much you can learn from everybody that's in there. I can't wait to see you there. Thanks so much for listening.